Good morning. I'm Pastor Dwayne. Welcome to Encounter Life. And let me say to all of my fathers, Happy Father's Day. I'm so excited that you chose to worship with us today. If this is your first time watching us here on our online service, let me ask you to do me a quick favor. If you got your phone, I want you to text the word new. If you're on a smartphone, text the word new to 301-804-2520. We want to just connect with you and let you know that we're glad that you worship with us today. Listen, all of our dads, all of our fathers, if you're a father, grandfather, uncle, godfather, mentor, whatever it is, we are so thankful for you today. I personally want to thank God for my dad, Dr. A. Lorenzo McKinney, and the example, the godly legacy. I'm telling you, that man is a titan. He is an amazing man of God. And I am who I am today because of his example. And following that example, trying to be like you, I thank you, God, thank you, Dad, for your godly example. Thank you for you being a man, watching you when I come in the morning, watching you on your knees before God and seeking him and just being an example of being a man about your business, but also a man about kingdom, a man who loves and showing me how to love my wife. I praise God for you, and I'm thankful for you. And if you're watching and you may not have had your dad in your life, I want to let you know, guess what? God loves you, and he's an example of the father that you may have never had. That song, he's the good, good father. That's who he is. He's perfect in all of his ways. God says that he's a God who will never leave you or forsake you. So if mom or dad, an earthly mom and dad, have not been there, the Bible promises that he'll take you up. And he'll love you unconditionally. He's a God who will provide every one of your needs. He's there to listen to every last one of your tears. The Bible tells us that he catches your tears and puts them in a bottle. That's how much he's concerned about you. He loves you. Even if you didn't have that earthly father, we have a heavenly father who cares deeply about you. And on Father's Day, so often you can find a Father's Day card on Father's Day, unlike on Mother's Day. But I pray that though sometimes dads, we can get left out a little bit. I pray that today in your house, moms, kids, whoever it is, that the dad in your house, whether it be grandfather, godfather, or dad, just love on them. Let them know how much you appreciate them today. Can we pray this morning as we go into a time of the word? I'm just excited on this Father's Day as we've been dealing with this issue of under my skin is our series that we're in today. You know, if we're talking about this racial issue and injustice and fighting injustice, I think Father's Day is very fitting because as men, as dads, we need to lead the way. We need to set our example for our kids of what it means to stand for righteousness, to fight against injustice. And I pray that as men that we lead the way and that we just show what it is to put our faith into action. Can we pray? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I'm thankful. Thankful, Lord God, for your word. And I'm thankful for the truth of your word. Thank you that you are a good father that's perfect in all of your ways, that you love us unconditionally, that you promise never to leave us or forsake us. Now, today, Lord, help us to take the faith that we have and begin to put it into action. To not just talk it, but to walk it. We love you. We thank you for every father who's there. I pray for everyone who's listening to me, whose father may have gone home, Lord God, may have passed away or may not have even had a father in their life. I pray that they will find you to be that good father that, will, Lord God, will be there with them through thick and thin. Be the lifter of their heads today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible or a phone or whatever, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Because today we're going to continue our series on this Father's Day of Under My Skin. I love it. Under My Skin. It's really that title of the series is a play on words because when something is under your skin, it's something that irritates you, something that bothers you. And I'm going to tell you, something is under the skin of this country. Something that gets under my skin and racism. It's racism gets under my skin. Injustice gets under my skin. And another reason we use that term is because guess what? We have a wound sometimes under the skin. The skin is just one of the layers in your body. And if you don't heal the wound underneath the skin, then guess what? It'll never receive healing. And then finally, we use under the skin because guess what? Underneath our skin, under my skin, you and I, whether you're white, black, whether you're Latino, whatever it is, guess what? Under the skin, we're all the same. We're all made by one God and made from one blood. And so that was our series, Under My Skin. And in week one, we talked about the power of one. We talked about that one God and all of us being made for one blood and designed for one purpose that gets blocked by one problem can be fixed by one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And when you really understand that, really, the gospel will eliminate racism. If I buy into the truth of the gospel that God has made us all the same and that we all have the same problem and Christ is that solution, when I really buy into it, it'll change my perspective. But one of the issues we talked about in week two, we said shut up and listen, because we know that sometimes when we talk about this problem of racism and injustice, there's a lot of loud noise. There's a lot of people who have opinions. I even have an opinion. And with social media, everybody's got a platform for their opinion, but not a lot of people are listening. So last week we said shut up and listen. But today we're kind of, after you listen, now you got to do something. You know, after you hear the problem, now you got to do something. So today we're talking about just do it. Just say just do it. You know, that was a slogan by Nike, just do it. And when I look at this passage in Luke chapter 10, that's the thing that came to my mind. When I see this man, the story of the Good Samaritan, and it's a great thing for us on Father's Day, because that's what God is calling us to do as men of God, as men to fight for those who have been disenfranchised, to fight and protect those who have experienced injustice. And sometimes it can be inconvenient, but God's calling you today to just do it. What do I mean? He's telling you and I to put our faith into action. Had a great conversation this past week with a friend of mine from high school. And we just wanted to get together. We connected and we said, you know, he's a friend of mine, he's a white guy. And as a black guy, we wanted to sit together and hear each other's perspective and find out, you know, what you're thinking. And we both men who are Christ followers and been in the church. And what my brother told me is, man, I've been feeling kind of, for a while, I've been just discouraged by the church, because it seems that only people are interested in really just doing church and not truly walking out this faith. And when we look at the Christ of the Bible and what he cares about, people aren't really concerned about that. But today, what God is calling you and I to do is now put our faith into action. And we want to look at an example of somebody, of how we ought to walk out our faith in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. I'm going to read there. It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you'll live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. You know what God is calling you to do? He said, listen, you got to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it is. God, putting our faith into action. Love God. That's our putting our faith. We put our faith and trust in him. We love God. And now he's calling us to what? Love people. But what does that look like? And loving people, we said it last week. If we're going to listen, love is the foundation. Love must be the foundation of being a good listener to people when we're talking about or combating injustice. But what does that look like? Who's my neighbor? Who am I to love? And I'm glad you asked. And when we look at this passage today, God is calling you today to love people who are different than you. He's calling you to love people who are different than you. What happened? It says a Jewish man was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And then, and who was the person who came and helped him? As this man, this Jewish man, was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was jumped and beaten down. And when he got jumped and he got beaten down and stripped and robbed, people came by that could help. A priest, another Jewish person came by, a preacher man, the church person, maybe just came out of the synagogue, maybe just came from worshiping and coming out of church. He saw the man down, beaten. And they were of the same nationality. He saw them, and you know what he did? He went on the other side of the road. Another temple assistant, also maybe same nationality, saw him, got close. He went on the other side of the road. Who is it, the one who really showed love? Who's the one who put the faith in action? It says the despised Samaritan. You say despise, and I love it. He said despised Samaritan. Jews hated Samaritans, and Samaritans hated Jews. They didn't like each other because the Samaritans, they looked at them as a mixed breed. And so they hated the Samaritans. They were despised, and they were different. They were different of their ethnic background. They were a mixed ethnic background. And today I love it because we look at the tension in our world because of racial tension, different ethnic and cultural backgrounds. But if I'm truly going to be like Christ, if I'm going to truly put my faith in action, he's calling you to love people that are different than you. This Samaritan, he went and he said, it says a despised Samaritan was the one who went to the one who was beaten down in the ditch and showed love. Who is it that's different than you that is God is calling you to love? You know, that's not easy. That means you got to put away your cultural stereotypes. I got to put aside my own prejudices and say, God, you're going to take me to somebody and take me out of my comfort zone to somebody that's not like me to love on them. God is calling you to love people that are different than you. That's how you put your faith in action. But not only is he calling you to love people that are different than you, he's calling you to love people that, guess what, maybe don't like you. You say, what? He says he was a Samaritan. He was racially different, but because of his ethnic difference, their people didn't like one another. He says he was despised. Do you know, sometimes God is calling me, he's calling you to go and show love and put my faith in action and act on the behalf of somebody who may not even like me, who may prejudge me and might have feelings about me that are wrong, that are negative, and I got to love on them anyway. You know, I heard the story the other day about some of the rallies and the peaceful protests that were going on in different places. And there was a white nationalist group there, and people were upset, and somebody got fighting and combating each other. And one guy who was from a white nationalist group was beaten down. And it said an African-American man put him up on his shoulder and tried to carry him out of harm's way. You know what? That's what love does. Love takes the person who may be even coming after you negatively, who doesn't like you, and showing love to him. What does Matthew chapter 5 say? Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. Look at it. It says, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. God is calling you to love people who are different than you, and he's also calling you to love people who don't like you. But thirdly, you know what else he's calling you to act on behalf of? He's calling you to love on people who've been deprived. It says this man, this Jewish man, was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And if you didn't know it, that road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a very dangerous road. Bandits used to lurk in the cut waiting for people, and they would jump them just like they did here. And this man, when he was on the way, it said they beat him down and they stripped him. They jumped him and stripped him of his clothes. And when I thought about that word stripped, I thought about something being taken away from him, being stripped of his clothes. And I began to think about people and ethnic groups. And I began to think about even some of my people who've been stripped of some things. Stripped of their pride, being stripped of resources, economic resources, maybe stripped of opportunity, maybe stripped of their dignity. Maybe, listen, they try to even strip us of our humanity. And so God is calling you in a climate where there's injustice and people are different. People may not like you, but also people, God is calling you to go on behalf of those who've been deprived and stripped. When we look at our world today, see who's been deprived of things, deprived of opportunity, maybe deprived of education, maybe deprived of economic resources, deprived of family, of the experiences. God is calling you to go to those people. That's what he wants you to show those love. He says, John 10:10, it said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The devil wants to strip people of stuff, and that's what he's doing in our community. I work in it every single day. People that have been stripped of their hope, stripped of their economic power, but God is calling me, listen, to go to those people. God is calling you to love people. Who? Different people. People that are different than you. Different ethnic background. Different racial background. Different socioeconomic background. Different educational background. But he's calling me to love people, guess what? Who don't like me. Who may not like me because I'm different. May not like me because of the color of my skin. God is still calling me to love on those people. But he's also calling me, listen, right now, he's calling you to love on those who've been deprived. He's calling you to have a heart for those who've experienced injustice. But you know, when you've been deprived of things, you know what it can lead you to be? The next thing is defeated. There's some people who have been deprived and stripped. And what it does, it gives them defeat. They've lost all hope. It says he was stripped of his clothes and then they beat him down. There are people right now in our world that are beat down. There are people in our community that are beat down. I'll go to work right now. Y'all know I work in healthcare, and sometimes I can see people that have been deprived of their health, the opportunities in healthcare. And some of them come in and they just don't even have hope. And I have to sit in my office. They come to me for a medical problem. But because they've been deprived of so much stuff, they've been deprived of socioeconomic power. They've been deprived of education. They've been deprived of so many things. Now they've been beat down and they're feeling hopeless and defeated. And that's who God is calling you to have a heart to love on. That's what he wants you to do. And then finally, he says, what does he do? He said, not only, he said he was stripped of his clothes, he was beat down, and then they left him half dead. I love it. They said he left him half dead. Who are we to love? We're to love folks who are dead. Half dead. What do you mean dead? I mean people who are spiritually dead. Do you know we're all born half dead? We're here, we're alive in our body, but the Bible says we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. All have sinned and all have fallen short of his glory. And then he says the wages of sin is death. So therefore, everybody is born in a position of being half dead. Alive in your body, but dead in your spirit. That's what God is calling you to love on. And he's calling you to love on those people that have been left half dead and to let them know that God, he came to give them life and that they might have life more abundantly. Pastor Dwayne, that God is calling me to put my faith in action in those areas. He's called me to love somebody who's different, somebody who may not like me, people who've been deprived of things, of socioeconomic power, been deprived of their even their health, of their education, wealth, whatever it is. They've been deprived, and because of that, they're beat down and defeated. And I know he's calling me to go to the spiritually dead. And sometimes we don't have a problem with that. We can do that. But God is saying, listen, I want you to do that, but how do I do it? This Good Samaritan in this passage gives us a great example. I want you to look here. Number one, the first thing that you're going to, how do you going to have to love on these people? And it kind of goes into our last week ties in today. I said, you got to love. Love is the foundation. But what did we do? This man, what did the Good Samaritan do? The Good Samaritan, number one, we have to see. We have to see. Look at what the Good Samaritan did. It says, a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, we must see. See, the priest came and he saw, but he went to the other side. The temple assistant saw and he went to the other side. But this man, the first thing though, all of them had to do was see it. What do I mean? You got to see those who are hurting. So they all had to see what the pain that this man was going through. And when you see it, now you got a choice to make. But there's too many of us try to act like we don't see it. We get a glance, and boom, we try to turn our head. I kind of think that's how the priest was. The priest was like walking down the street, and he could see a little bit, and he just turned, and he went the other way. He didn't want to deal with it. The temple assistant got a little bit closer. He saw it and said, oh, I don't want to put myself in harm's way because there might be some more bandits lurking around. I don't want to get myself hurt. But what you got to do, you got to see, number one. What you got to do is open your eyes. You cannot ignore what's going on. That's what we talked about last week. Listen. Listen to the plight of the people who are oppressed. Listen to those who are experiencing injustice. Listen to those who are hurting right now. You got to see it. But once you see it, you can't stay there. Look at the passage. It says, when he saw the man, what was next? He felt compassion. We must see, but we also must sympathize. We must see, but we also must sympathize. He said he saw them and then he felt compassion. That's what God is calling you to do. When you see the pain that people are experiencing, now he's causing you to do what? Sympathize with their hurt. I said it last week. You got to identify with people's pain. The priest saw it, couldn't sympathize. I'm going on the other side of the street. Somebody else deal with it. Temple assistant saw it. I'm going on the other side of the street. But what the Samaritan, the despised Samaritan, say he may not even like me. He may not even want to touch me. He's different than me. But I see it and I feel his pain. Why? Because we're all human. We are one blood. We must see. We will sympathize. But the next thing that he had to do was stop and sit. See, he saw him. And he sympathized, but he didn't just keep on going. You know, it's not enough. The Bible talks about it. If you see something and you say, oh, I'm be praying for you. And if I got power to do something about it and I don't do anything about it, it's useless. Faith without works. God is calling you to put your faith in action. What the Samaritan did, he saw, he sympathized, and then he had to stop and sit. Look at the passage. He got close. When you look at it, he said he saw him and did what? He got close. He went over to him and the Samaritan soothed his wounds. He saw and he went to where he was. The man was beat down, so he had to go down and enter into his space. God is calling you today. If you're going to bring healing, if you want to walk like Jesus, you got to enter into the space of those who've been disenfranchised. You got to enter into the space of those who have experienced injustice. You got to enter into the space of those who are hurting. Got to stop and sit. And in order for him to stop and sit, he was putting himself in harm's way because there could be, he didn't know. He didn't know if this was a setup. This man could have been down here trying to set me up for somebody else coming behind me. There could be other bandits lurking in the wings. But he said, I don't care. This man's hurt was too important for me and I'm going to live out. I'm going to walk out my faith. So he saw, he sympathized and he stopped and he sat. Today, are you willing to stop and sit when you see somebody else's pain? But not only did he stop and sit, look at what he says. It says the Samaritan then soothed his wounds. Once you stop and sit, well, you got to stop and sit to assess the situation. And when you see where the hurt is, if the man has been stripped of things, he's been deprived of things, if he's been defeated, you see where the wound is. And then what does he say? He put olive oil on it and he put wine there. And then he bandaged them. God is calling you to be one who soothes. He's calling us to be a healing agent. The church, followers of Christ, should be the ones who bring soothing and healing. There's a balm in Gilead. We ought to be able to bring healing to the wound, to the racial wound. We ought to bring healing to the socioeconomic wound because we got the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And you got to be willing to put yourself in harm's way. God is calling you. How do you love on them? How do we love? We got to see first. We got to sympathize. Then you got to stop and sit. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And when I'm there, don't get back up and just leave them there. Soothe. Take the resources that you have to begin to be able to apply healing to the situation. But not only that, he didn't just stop and sit and soothe. Finally, what you got to do, you got to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be willing to sacrifice. Look at what he did. Just go back down to the text. What he said, he put the olive oil on it and the wine on it. And then he said, and bandaged them. Then it says, then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, which means I have to get down off of what I was riding and I'll be willing to walk so you can ride. He sacrificed. Do you know when you're going to battle injustice, when you're going to fight for those who are the least of these, you're going to put yourself in harm's way and you're going to be, he was willing to become a casualty. Do you know you got to be willing to become a casualty to be able to walk in those shoes? This man said, I'm not only going to come down, stop and sit and know that I'm risking somebody may be coming to get me, but I'm going to give up my own mode of transportation to let you ride and I'm going to walk. And not only that, he took him to the inn where he took care of him. He gave him his time. He gave him his resources. And then he said he gave the money to the innkeeper and said, I'll be back. And if this runs out, it's more where that came from. God is calling you now. Put your faith in action to just do it. And who is he calling you to love on? Who is he calling you to show that love to? We can talk about it, but it's time to be about it, church. Who is he calling you to? He's calling you to people who are different, calling you to people who don't like you. He's calling you to people who've been deprived and defeated, those who've been left half dead. And how do you love on them? First, you got to see it. We can see it now, the news, social media. We see the cries for help. Once you see those who are hurting, now he says, sympathize. I said it last week, Jesus Christ, he looked upon them, the people, like they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. We got to have the heart of Christ. You got to sympathize. But then once you sympathize, what do you got to do? You got to see, you got to sympathize, but then you got to stop and you got to sit in. You got to enter in and find out what's going on. Let me see what the wound is. And then begin to apply the soothing balm to it. And you got to be willing to sacrifice. And as we do that, and we'll begin to see healing happen, we'll begin to see transformation happen. And as we begin to see transformation, if that happens in the body of Christ, guess what? Now we become a light to a world and to show the world what true love looks like, that love is an action word. And this faith thing, this God that we say we believe, if we're not willing to walk it out and put ourselves in harm's way for those who've been beat down and deprived and defeated, left for half dead, then our faith is useless. It's time to just do it. Today, if you're under the sound of my voice and you say, look, Pastor Wayne, God's convicted me. It's time for me to just get outside of the four walls of the church, or even right now in that age of COVID, get outside of the four walls of my home and begin to put my faith into action to love on somebody different than me, to love on somebody who may not like me, to love on someone who's been deprived and defeated, left half dead. And you're ready. You say, I see the hurt around me. And my heart, God has moved your heart with compassion, and you're ready to stop and spend some time in entering into the pain of others so that you can apply a soothing balm, so you can apply the help. Be willing to sacrifice. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. Can I pray with you? Say, dear God, thank you for being patient with me. Forgive me, God, for when I've been like the priest and seen the hurt of others and walked on the other side of the street. But today, no more. Father God, when I see those who are hurting, God, I pray that you will cultivate a heart of compassion like your heart. Lord, help me to love like you love. I pray today, God, that you'll forgive me for when I've gone and been about my own agenda. But today, God, I want to be able to see those who are hurting, sympathize, and then sit down with them, be able to soothe the pain. I pray that you'll use me in the life. Lord, forgive me. And today, I want to make the sacrifice to give up of my own resources, to give up of my own time, and give up my own agenda to begin to serve others who are hurting today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, if that was you, congratulations. Congratulations. God wants to do a work. He wants us to begin to put this faith in action. And as the world begins to see it, they'll know what? They'll know we are Christians by our love. And today, listen, you may never have come to know his love. You may have never come to know God as your personal love and Savior, Lord and Savior. I want to let you know he loves you, that God made you to love you. And that kind of sacrificial love I'm talking about, it's hard to do that in the natural. We need the power. We need his power on the inside. And if you want the presence of that power in your life, it's very simple. All you got to do first is admit to God that, listen, I'm a sinner separated from you. See, God has created us for a relationship, but sin has separated us. And we're all sinners. I said we're all born half dead. We're all born separated from God. But God loves you. Just admit to God, I'm not perfect. But I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I believe he was buried and that he rose again. And today I invite you into my life to forgive me of my sins and make you me who he wants me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you did that, congratulations. I want to welcome you to the family. If you did that, I want you to text the word next to 301-804-2520. Text the word next to 301-804-2520. We're going to send you some information to help you grow. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Listen, let's just do it this week, y'all. Let's go out there and put our faith into action. God bless.